Hello, it's Wednesday, May 27th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. A fourth Hamas military chief has been eliminated in Gaza, and the IDF has carried out its heaviest airstrikes on Hezbollah in weeks. The Iranian regime continues to rage against Israel, but there's still no sign of a deal with the United States. We'll break all of that down with military and strategic affairs analyst Yaakov Lapin in just a second. But first, the headlines. Israel's defense minister has confirmed the death of Hamas commander Mohammed Awda. He was appointed last week following the killing of his predecessor and was tracked for weeks before being targeted overnight. He played a key role in planning the October 7th attacks and was among the last senior Hamas commanders still active in Gaza. Defense Minister Israel Katz congratulated the IDF, and he also said Israel would be moving ahead with plans for what he called voluntary migration from the Strip. Israel has launched one of the most intense waves of airstrikes on Lebanon in months after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to escalate military pressure on Hezbollah. More than 100 Hezbollah sites were targeted overnight, while IDF troops reportedly advanced further north past the Blue Line. Hezbollah has continued to launch rocket and drone attacks into northern Israel, with one rocket falling in an open area in the north this morning. An IRGC commander says Tehran does not expect another war with the United States anytime soon, but warns Iran is fully prepared if conflict erupts again. The official threatened to turn Iran's entire southern coastline into what he called a graveyard for aggressors. Negotiations between Tehran and the United States are ongoing. Israel's parliament is moving a step closer towards possible early elections. Lawmakers have agreed to advance a bill that would dissolve the Knesset and trigger a national vote. The legislation will now head to a committee debate before returning to the chamber for the remaining votes needed to bring down the government. While no election date has been set, Israeli law requires any new vote to take place within months of the bill's final approval, with elections expected no later than October. Flights from New York to Tel Aviv could soon become a bit cheaper. The Israeli airline Israel says it plans to launch direct flights as early as this summer, expanding competition on one of Israel's most important international routes at a time when the major US carriers are still staying away. It follows months of disruption caused by the war with Iran, with airlines like United, Delta and American repeatedly postponing their return to Israel. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Yaakov Lapin. Let's start with the elimination of another Hamas commander in Gaza. How much of a blow is this to the group, and might this make them more likely to consider disarming?
It's the fourth commander of the military wing who's been eliminated. We've got a whole succession of eliminations of their most senior leadership. So you're looking at a situation where every time Hamas tries to stabilize its senior military command, the Israeli intelligence community tracks this and provides very accurate intelligence about the location. In this case, it was in the Ramal neighborhood of northern Gaza, and prevents this stabilization leadership effort from taking hold. It's certainly disruptive. I don't think it's going to change Hamas's position on disarmament, because this is not a policy decision for Hamas. This is its ideological jihadist DNA. They believe that what they call armed struggle, the mukawama, which is struggle against Israel's existence, that is the reason that they exist. So the day that they give up their arms in a real manner is the day that they stop being Hamas. So I think they're willing to play all kinds of games, try to buy time, just like Hezbollah did actually in Lebanon in recent years, make a show of very selective disarmament. But I think that they're not going to do that at all. They're very determined to remain the dominant armed terror group in Gaza. Going after them one by one is one side of the equation, but there are people like Amit Yagol, the former IDF officer. He and others like him say that if we really want to degrade Hamas, it cannot only be a military endeavor. There has got to be a separation of the civilian population of Gaza from the Hamas terror regime. Because if we want to understand the source of power of these terror armies, and it's Hamas, it's Hezbollah, it's their control over the civilian population. It's their brainwashing. It's the turning of civilian institutes into their branches and tentacles. And until there's a separation, until they lose control of the civilians, we are not going to significantly degrade them beyond what we've already done.
We had a significant escalation in Lebanon overnight, hundreds of airstrikes. But is it enough, Yaakov, to stop these increasingly deadly drone attacks?
It's enough to reduce, but not to completely stop, because Hezbollah has reverted to what it began as, which is a guerrilla hit-and-run terror organization. Let's remember that before this war, Hezbollah basically was running a shadow state in southern Lebanon and in parts of Beirut and the Bekaa Valley. And now they've lost that heartland in southern Lebanon. The IDF is there. There's a 10-kilometer security zone. Most of the hundreds of thousands of Shiites, we were just talking about civilian control and using them as human shields, most of these human assets of Hezbollah have been moved out of southern Lebanon for their own safety. So what we're seeing is that Hezbollah, because of it's gotten much weaker, 80% of its firepower has been eliminated. Its leadership has been eliminated. So what it's doing is reverting now to its guerrilla roots. And as part of that shift, it's heavily relying now, more than anything else, pretty much, on these quadcopters, these explosive drones, fiber optic drones, copying a tactic from the Ukrainian-Russian battlefield. And there are two ways of dealing with this from the military perspective. One is, of course, defensive. And I'm speaking to multiple quarters of the Israeli defense establishment in recent days, and I'm hearing about a lot of progress in intercepting and detecting this threat. Detection is actually the hardest part. But there's also the offensive part of this. And here we have a problem, because the United States has imposed a limitation on Israel's retaliation capacity. Beirut is currently essentially off limits, unless, you know, maybe a very high value target like Naim Qassam, the Secretary General of Hezbollah himself, would become a target. But other than that, we're not seeing strikes in Dahiya, which is a very important quarter for Hezbollah. So Hezbollah is being damaged, but it's not being damaged enough throughout Lebanon because of this restriction that we're dealing with. And this is where, you know, wars get complicated, because we are part of a coalition with the United States. We've been fighting wing to wing with the United States against Iran. And as part of that coalition, the United States, as a senior partner, has now imposed restrictions on Israel in Lebanon. And that's definitely affecting the situation.
This stop, start, ceasefire on, ceasefire off kind of warfare can also be applied to Iran, can't it? When details of the deal emerged, there was a lot of concern, even panic here in Israel. You are a rare voice of optimism. Why is that?
If the Iranians were able to separate the various obligations, like getting rid of the highly enriched uranium from their soil, if that gets separated and push to the end of a multi-stage deal, then I think that's an Iranian achievement, and that is a source of concern. But what I'm saying essentially is that we have to separate the military achievements that Israel and the United States have objectively on the ground, physically, have already achieved. In other words, degrading most of Iran's missile program, missile production program, the nuclear Iranian program. Most of that was decimated back in June and never actually recovered. So if we look at Iran's most threatening capabilities, they are much weaker now than what they were before the two Iran wars, and certainly before February 28th of this year. If I add to that clear indications that the Iranian regime internally is under massive stress, the mass arrests, the economic situation, which is a train wreck, they've lost, you know, something like 40% of their GDP. They're struggling to export any of their energy because there's a blockade on their ports. So when you connect all of these dots, I don't buy into the idea that this regime has emerged stronger, that this war was a failure, and all kinds of very, I would say, self-defeating narratives that we're seeing pushed around.
The narrative seems to be all this regime has to do is survive, and then they can claim victory.
Yes, that's the Iranian talking point. That's exactly what the regime says. And what I would say to that is, why are people so quick to adopt this extremely shallow perspective? Why are we not measuring the regime on objective parameters? Its economy, its military capabilities, its ability to project the Islamic revolution, its ability to supply, its proxies, its command structure. Everything here, everything I've mentioned, has been measurably weakened. Iran invested decades and tens of billions of dollars in building this industry, and almost every component of the Iranian missile production supply chain has been hit very, very hard. The same is true of the nuclear program. I have no problem with a variety of conclusions. I have a problem with sweeping away facts from the discussion. I think that that's a very problematic narrative. I think it's driven by agendas. We've also had a bunch of very suspicious leaks to basically argue that the Iranian regime is fine. Everything is fine.
Everything's fine, yeah.
weeks and weeks of strikes by the two most powerful air forces in the world, but it didn't leave much of a dent. And if people want to believe that, I may have a bridge to sell them.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. And please use the link below to subscribe. It just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.